Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. I'm here with Lori Reamer.
Hello.
And very good friend and guitar player Mark Mann, who's been on several times.
Hello, Jeff, and everybody listening.
And we have an interesting show for you tonight because we're going to show some other aspects of Mark. We've covered a lot of what he's done a little bit with working as an electronic orchestrator for Danny Elfman and also as a great guitar player. But now we're going to be talking about some other production projects that he's doing. One that's already out and one that's coming up. So we're getting a sneak peek of an upcoming album with him, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he was kind enough to bring in some rough mixes of what they have, and even the rough mixes sound amazing. So I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Now, the first thing we're going to talk about, is that guitar. Now, he brought this guitar for a special reason.
Beauty.
So I'm going to let you tell the story behind it.
Well, there's a fire going on here in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of people moving stuff around, and I had to move a few things. And this is actually the first decent acoustic guitar that I got growing up, and it's actually, people think it's a Yamaha, but it's a Yamaki. And it was just sort of like nice to break it out. And it has a really nice sound, and it was one of those things that it's just kind of funny that this was $125 when I bought it, and it's probably worth 10 times that now.
Yeah.
It probably sounds better, too, right?
Is that, that's a solid spruce top. Is that solid rosewood?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worth some money then. That's rosewood, and it's... How that's the that when did you get that guitar?
1975.
Okay. So it's been
that's when
a while.
I got mine.
No, it's interesting, and it sounds great. Do you still use it to record?
Yeah. One of the nice things about it is it records really well because it doesn't have that really low bottom end that a lot of acoustic has. A lot of acoustics, you know, you always have to roll off the bottom. This one is very light and airy. So it's always nice to just do a lot of rhythm. And working with Jeff Lynn for many, many years, I learned about, you know, just really light acoustic guitars in stereo where you just double them. You'd have your first pass on the right and your second pass on the left and get to...
pan them, when you double them and pan them like that, they set into the mix more. You don't have to bring them up. They're there.
Yeah. And it was really just laziness of not wanting to pack up anything else to bring. And we're talking more about the projects, the stuff that I've been producing and recording. And the first one is a band called Ruby Ate the Fig. Both bands have very unusual names.
Yes.
As you notice.
Yes.
The first one is Ruby Ate the Fig, and we released an EP this summer and did a tour, and Lori helped us do a show out at Bogey's. And,
yep, that's great.
And because of that, we got hooked up with an organization called Alert the Globe, which Waddy Wachtel is involved in, and Greg Bissonette, a great drummer, and it's about...
Bernard Fowler, too.
Yeah, Bernard Fowler. And it's all about...
And Ken Green.
Getting live concerts sort of streaming all over the world. So we're hoping to do a concert, I think, December or January with them. So,
well, their website is www.rubyatethefig.com. You got to check it out. And the name of the EP, if I'm correct, is Caress the Moon.
That's correct. And the writer-artist is Sharon Eliashar. She was born in Jerusalem. It's really a world music band. Some of the comments about the music is it's Mahavishnu Orchestra meets the Police. Walking through the desert and have tea with Grace Slick, because Sharon looks like Grace and she sings great like Grace. And so it's a different kind of music. It's progressive rock with Middle Eastern influences.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so we have Polyatopia Ferber on Doombeck in the band, another hand percussion. We've got Adam Good on oud, and Kenny Bly on bass. We got people from all over the world. Danny Montgomery, who lives in Spain. So it's really a world music band that lives all over the world. Seren Baronian on Middle Eastern ethnic instruments, woodwinds and percussion. And he's from Armenia originally. So it's a little bit, let's stop talking about it, and maybe you can play a little something.
Well, before I play the first clip that you gave me, you had recorded before with Ruby Ate the Fig and produced him before. Before I play this, what were you guys trying to do on this album different than the other? I mean, what was the
well, the previous, we did things kind of backwards. You know how bands do studio albums and then live albums? We did the album first.
Oh, okay.
We just went out and did shows and recorded the live album and released that. And then, so this was really kind of the first time into the studio in Santa Fe, which is where Sharon is based. And John O'Manson was the engineer out in the studio in Santa Fe, which used to be called Kitchen Sink. So Sharon, you know, gathers all the players from all over the world, like Adam lives in New York, and I live in L.A., and Danny lives in Spain, and so we all get together in Santa Fe and went in and recorded some tracks, and then I added things and changed things, and we recorded some in my house, my home studio, and then we record some in... on the Mesa, which is where Sharon lives, on a 40-acre nice house that she and her husband kind of built out in the wilds of the Mesa in Santa Fe. And one of the things that you'll hear is a guitar solo that I recorded with the amp in her hallway and putting a mic and the amp in there and just utilizing this wonderful... acoustics of the environment that her husband Leo Hubbard built this house. And so we have recordings from LA, Santa Fe, the middle of nowhere, Mesa, and all sorts of things. And it's up to me to make it all come together and make sounds.
Well, let's go ahead and play Five in Scorpio, and then we'll talk a little bit about what you did, because there's some great tones that you're getting out of the guitars here. Here's Five in Scorpio.
Thank you.
In the sky, they came with sultry guns and hornets' nests and rum, and flew us to the sun, where we fried the
that bass and guitar line is just so cool.
Yeah, isn't that great? Kenny Bly on bass and Sharon and Kenny kind of worked that out in the studio. And I had some influence and we changed it a little bit around while we were recording in the studio. But ask your listeners what the meter of that song is.
Yeah, that's
what's the time signature of that song?
Yeah, we didn't tell you there's a test at the end of the
show. Yeah, right.
But the did you, with that kind of music where you're doing all these specific lines and it's pretty involved, is that stuff written out or are you guys basically just rehearsed it and learned it?
Yeah, we have sometimes some little penciled up guidelines, and Danny Montgomery, the drummer, who's amazing, he'll write charts for himself. But we'll just learn the songs. We will, you know, rehearse them out on the ranch, and then just get it the way we want it. There are some times where we try different things, and it's a good thing to talk about production, where you might try adding some things. Like there was a part that we had originally in one section, and then we went, you know, it's better if it's simpler, and we simplified it. It's a lot of fun because it's a different style of music, so you get to do unusual things. Like there's no guitar solo on that song, but in the choruses, in between each line, you'll notice I right at the end, like I think it was like had pretty much mixed it, and I went, you know what, it needs something, and I just got out my trusty Strat and added those lines that you hear in between each one of the phrases in the chorus.
Well, those little riffs that you're playing between the vocals. What were you were using the Strat, but mm-hmm. was that an amp or was that a plug?
That was all the listeners who were here, you know, the last time I was here showing my sort of rig. I use the VG system and I emulate cabinets and amps and guitars and I've, you know, tweaked these over the years and I know certain ways that I want it to sound and mm-hmm. it's really kind of fun just to be able to like go, okay, I want a Les Paul through, you know, a 412 cabinet, you know, and maybe a Mesa Boogie amp, just, and I don't have to set them up.
Yeah, he can dial it, especially even with the Strat, since you're with that whole system, you can create almost any guitar or any tuning.
Uh-huh.
We're doing
uh-huh.
tunings.
And to just bring that up, that because the Middle Eastern instruments are involved, such as the oud is centered in D, and all of the woodwinds that our great player Seren plays are also in D. So all of these guitars are tuned down a whole step. So it kind of gives it this really cool weight to the music, and I think it makes it really different sounding.
Well, I love the doubling of the lines with the bass and the guitar. It really prog. I mean, to me, that's just really cool. That's a great riff that you're doing there.
Yeah, that's a good song, good riff that Sharon came up with.
Now, did you? Okay, so you had used the VG system for that guitar. For how did you do the bass? Was the bass direct?
Yeah, I think yes, we did have Kenny going in direct, and we might have had a bass in the other room, in an ISO room, but I think when I mixed it, his bass sounds so good. I just put a touch of compression with an 1176,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes just a smidge roll off at the really low, just to keep some of the low frequencies that we don't even hear, but that adds sort of volume to the overall compression. Mm-hmm. But his bass just sounds phenomenal. So it's like, you know, smidgen things, and that's one of the great things about his playing is that he has this tone that just cuts through all these lines. I think on the last track of this EP, Caress the Moon, you'll hear another great, great bass part. We'll play that at the end of the show.
Yeah, and yeah, all the bass lines are, it's obviously, there's some great counterpoint with that against the vocals and stuff and what you're doing. There's these lines going on with the guitars or the bass. And all of the stuff I've heard, it's just amazing. But this stuff, very melodic, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now drums. What's any particular thing you mic'd? Is that a live room, or did you?
Yeah, like I said, John O'Manson set up the mics for the drums, and he did a phenomenal job. He did this really cool thing where he has this mic system for the kick drum that's a special receptacle rather than just a mic. It's a big mini drum head that gets it. I forget the name of it.
Is it Yamaha? There's like Yamaha makes one of those.
Yeah, you know, he would know better, and I think Danny Montgomery, the drummer, would remember. But it was mic'd really well, and we had overheads, and we had room mics. And it was a big enough studio that we got a great drum sound. And I tailored it. I put it through, you know, all sorts of SSL channel strips and all sorts of good things to get a really, you know, present, punchy drum sound. And I love the way it sounds.
Yeah, no, it's a great sound. Now, when you do use acoustic guitars, any particular, how did you mic that? What did you use?
Yeah, well, Sharon has a great luthier who lives in Santa Fe, Keith Vizcarra. I hope I'm saying his name right. He made a couple. She just received a guitar that she ordered like 16 years ago because he's so much in demand. I mean, he makes them for, you know, you name it.
I thought they had to grow the tree first.
Yeah, I wish I knew all the names that I could rip off, but you'd go, oh. Anyway, he made a custom electric for her, too, that really has a great tone. So then on some of these, the rhythm guitar is Sharon. She's a great rhythm guitarist. And she's playing what looks sort of like all solid one-piece. There'll be photos on the ruby8thefig.com where you'll see the guitar, and it gets a really nice, clean rhythm tone that allows you to do all these complex harmonies. Because she's doing chords like, which is, you know, an F chord without your barring it. So, and I'm in the different key. She'll do a lot of ringing strings. And I'm in normal tuning rather than in the Ruby down step mm-hmm. tuning, but that's the chord for the next song on the EP, which is Waiting for You.
Yes,
and that was a lot of fun because I worked out the song for that at the rehearsal hall that we had gotten in Santa Fe. I just kind of went, this song needs that solo, which you'll here in a minute. I actually recorded multiple times in multiple cities and actually layered them. There's really, it's absurd. There's probably 7 tracks of me playing the exact same solo. And what I did was bring them in the mix in and out. So you hear phasing. What you think is panning moving around in your
ears. Yeah, I heard that.
Is not. It's actually phase correlation of the different takes coming in and out.
And is that why it sounds like sometimes they're kind of harmonizing themselves? You just took there's like a double lead type of thing happening in some of it.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's actually 7 different guitar passes. I want this to be so different sounding, you know. I really wanted it to end, and from what I hear, you know, like the drummer said, man, this is one of the greatest solos I've ever heard. I'm going, well, thank you. And it was about making it sound interesting because it's very like it uses the flat 5 stuff in her chords a lot. So it was something to be able to make it sound unique too.
All right, well, let's listen to it. We can talk a little more about it. This is Waiting for You.
Like fruits arrive, and I'm waiting for you. The dates are falling from the tree and open with delicacy, and I'm waiting for you. How can I be lonely when I know that you also wait for me?
Stand with
love that little part where you went and like you do the little harmony thing. But you could hear it. I was trying to point when you can hear the guitar kind of move. That is very cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
It's not,
great.
It doesn't, if you listen carefully, it's not a, you know, a panner. It, the electronics of it, it's kind of weird when it goes into the middle and goes to the back. This thing is kind of more natural.
It's playing with the concept of phase and how we hear sound reflecting off of the room that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool on headphones because you really can feel it moving around inside your head. And that was a great edit. You dropped in kind of in the middle of the song right before the solo and it gave you a chance to hear the context of it. So you hear the...
thank you.
Had a real Genesis feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the prog thing. And it's very...
Yeah, that's
spot. This album, compared to what you had from last time, it's really edgy, which is great. It really just kicks butt.
Well, thanks. So. Well, and we hope that the next one I'm working on will be... It's kind of... it moves into a different genre, the project that I'm mixing right now, which has a story about the guy I'm doing it with, if you want to.
Hold on 1 second before you do that, because I have another question for you.
Oh.
As a producer, what was the tough thing about mixing this thing?
Oh, that particular track?
Just
Waiting
in
For
in
You,
general,
or all
the whole album? What was the challenge there? There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of harmonic richness, and there's a lot of counterpoint in both the guitars and the bass, and there's Middle Eastern percussion. Polly does just amazing things, and part of it is to make it so that you feel the flavor of the Middle Easternness, like the track Scorpio actually opens up with a Dumbek solo for the first few bars, and then the drums come in. So it was a challenge to have it sound, you know, really powerful, but still keep the essence of the Middle Eastern influences.
Because with all those instruments, and there's some stuff in the back that sounded like there were strings on, I forget which cut.
Oh, that's on Caress the Moon. I did an orchestration for that, a full orchestra for that.
But there's a lot of air. It's got a lot of air in it.
And on that one, you'll hear the oud. The oud on that one as well. So yeah, it was fun to do, but a lot of work put in, and Sharon would fly in from Santa Fe, and we'd do harmonies, and we'd work on little bits and pieces, and then try a rough mix, and then I'd send her a rough mix, and it was, you know, the whole, you know, she would have input on what she'd want for, I mean, there's detail on the vocals as far as the levels, so that every word, she's so great with her pronunciation and enunciation, you can really hear every word.
Yes. Now, she's using the electric guitar, that custom electric guitar.
Uh-huh.
Those open
and one
chords.
of the guitars that's on that solo was when I was in Santa Fe at her house, that I was using the Keith Viscara electric to add another layer.
Now, was that through like a what amp were you using?
Oh my gosh.
Because that's a great sound. And
well,
it's interesting how they blend well. It's really homogenous to, I mean, all the solos.
Well, yeah, there's like a thin Strat, then there's a moving the pickup position up so you get that sort of phase thinness of the Strat. There's that in there. There's a Les Paul in there. There's the Keith Viscara in there. There's a Tele in there.
And were those through amps?
Yeah, the Tele was at the studio was through a Tweed, Fender Tweed.
Okay, but you used all amps for the leads?
I used the VG as well.
Oh, okay.
On some of the set, so like maybe two or three of the tracks are through the VG.
That thing is amazing. It does. I mean, I could not tell, but the overall sound, it just blends really well.
Well, great. And that chord that you kind of smiled at, that everybody kind of looks at and says, that's the Beatles chord or whatever. that sort of the 7-9 chord. I did that on guitars, but then I wanted a little bit more bell-like on it, so I added a little keyboard synth part on top of that to give it a little ring. So it really chimes out there.
That's great. This EP is a must get. Now, we'll hold off for Caress the Moon because that's at the end. But let's talk about this other project.
All right. Well, so the backstory on this, the album that's being mixed right now and hope to have out by the end of the year is me and my longtime music collaborator, Jeff Lefty Levine. And there's a story while we... So it's Lefty and the Hat Man. I always have a hat on. I'm a you know, since I was a kid. So I'm the Hat Man, and it's Lefty and the Hat Man is the album. And Jeff and I were in a band. We were in bands, you know, in our 30s, and we were recording at the record plant and playing around town and all this stuff. And one of the bands that we had was called Blue Collar. And we had female singers, and it was great, and we were doing all sorts of different stuff. Anyway, Jeff writes great stuff, and he plays a Martin on this on these recordings, a Martin HD28V. But the funny thing about Jeff, and I always loved this, and it drove me crazy when we first met, is he plays a normal strung guitar
flipped over
upside down.
Yeah.
So he's a lefty who doesn't restring.
Yeah.
So
hard.
All of his chord shapes are the other way around. Upside down. And it's really amazing because what happens is you get a different ring, you get a different tone, and on these he tunes it down a whole step also. And on one of the tracks that you'll hear, we call it Love, he tuned to Dadgad tuning. So the interesting thing is that he called me up and said, you know, I've got a bunch of songs I want you to help me with and produce, and I ended up, you know, kind of writing a lot of the musical bits and parts and carving out some of the lyrics and working with him on the lyrics and stuff. And so I said, you know, let's do this like it's a Mike and the Mechanics kind of thing where we have different artists coming in to record with us. We have different singers on different tracks. And so it's not like there's one singer through the whole album. There's a bunch of great singers. We have Jeff Allen Ross on, who's our music director for the upcoming show, which
and
we'll talk about.
We'll get him on the show eventually.
And he sings on a couple of the tracks, really nice. He you know, sang with Badfinger, and he works with Peter Asher and anyway.
Kate Taylor too.
Uh huh. And Al Jardine.
And Al Jardine's the latest. And the Tribe.
Yes. And then we have my buddy, who I call Chris Pro, is Christian Provenson. So one of the first tracks you'll hear is Dumbstruck, and that's Chris on that. And then we have my buddy Ira Ingber, who, by the way, mastered the Ruby record. Let me just put that out there. Ira Ingber.
That's right.
And mastered this record.
He was there that night at Bogey's.
And it's one of the best mastering jobs. I mean, I've mastered with Bernie Grundman. I've mastered with, you know, everybody for the ELO box sets and the ELO albums I worked on and you know, George Harrison records. And that, and it's like, you want good mastering, look up Ira Ingber.
Yeah, no, that album just sounds amazing.
And literally, I had somebody else try to do it. And I said, no. This is it.
Yeah, no. Enough said. You'll hear him caress him.
And we can give a shout out to Jackie O, right? That's his band.
Oh yeah, his band Jackie O. He plays with Steve
Bartek. Is in it too. That's right.
My longtime buddy, guitar player from Oingo Boingo. They just did a show I was at last Wednesday. They played out here in the valley with John Avila, the bass player from Boingo. And it's lots of good people. And Ira graced us with his vocals on a couple of the tracks. One of them you'll hear tonight.
I'm going to go ahead and play Dumbstruck. And before I play it, anything to mention or just...
Well, there's these fires going on in L.A. that you just can't believe that this is going on. So there's a little bit of Dumbstruck about events in, you know, what's going on that just make you go, I can't believe this is happening. And Jeff kind of... wanted to write something that's almost from the point of view of like, I'm dumbstruck that this is the way our country is right now and what's going on and you know, what do we do about it? How do we change it or you just start over? So it's kind of got an ironic twist in there. So
now we're going to be playing a lot of to show the guitars, but definitely the songs, the lyrics are really interesting and
well, after they hear it, we can talk about some of the guitars.
Okay, here we go. Here's Dumbstruck.
Dumbstruck, out of luck, sick and tired of feeling stuck. Tear the whole thing down.
That's a whole plethora of guitars in there.
Yeah.
Great energy in that song.
I love that 12 string.
Lefty's playing rhythm on that, and I'm doing all the electrics on that. And we have, I'm using a Gretsch electric 12 that Jeff Allen Ross loaned me to use. And then I doubled that with the 12 string that the VG generates. So there's actually two 12 strings doing that riff. And it kind of jangles. It kind of has that little bit of the birds.
It sounds like a Tele. Is that the VG too?
Yeah, that's the Tele.
That's a Tele?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that through an amp or is that through the
VG? No, that's the Tele through a twin.
Through a twin. That's a great sound. I mean, you're getting all the classic things. The lead, what did you use on the lead?
I used the sound that I used for While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Very cool. And that was
the solo.
Yeah.
I kind of went, you know what? That's a good sound. I'm going to use that again.
You wasted on just one opportunity.
Well, you know, it's kind of like you push a button and you go, oh, that's a good one. I'm going to use that.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you, and since you have your guitar there, there's some interesting lines that you're doing in there. And under these, there's the low Tele line. If you can break it out a little bit for us. Because you're doing some interesting things besides the jangling of the 12 strings. But you're doing there's some interesting lines in there, especially in the chorus. I'm putting him on the spot.
Yeah, we'll
but
see.
They're cool.
Good
they're
for you,
very,
Jeff.
Very cool.
Gonna make me have to remember it.
But it's also, while he's
the riffs in there, it's kind of like the. Like a moving line through there, and it was that's a really clean. I think it was a Tele sound. It's really clean, so that you don't get in the way of what the vocals are doing.
Right, but it has an interesting sound. It's like it's a little gritty.
It's
pretty cool. And I just want to mention these are not final mixes.
No.
Still, these are rough mixes. How great they sound.
Well, we work on this in between me doing stuff for Danny Elfman, which was one of them is The Grinch, which went to number one this weekend.
Congratulations.
Yay.
So
plus.
These things like having the gig that you have to do, paying the bills. And so anyway, we did this album in between our other projects. So. And
plus those 3 nights at the Hollywood Bowl. Right?
Yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. But the songs are all really, really strong, and we have a great drummer, Edward Villa, on drums that just really powers these songs. And the bass on that one was Todd Richman. And Scott Johnson adds some keyboards on a few of these tracks, and I do keyboards on a few of the tracks. And we have Jay Work, who plays all the saxes and woodwinds. If you do the fade out, I think, I don't know if you're going to play the end, but there's a great, great little bit at the end there with Jay on flute.
Fade out, I have the part where you hear all this, that sounds like synth guitar in there.
Oh, on that one, I actually did a synth solo. I kind of went retro and did a Jan Hammer kind of arpeggiation synthesizer solo, and I was kind of grooving on it, and we were leaving it that way for a while, but Jeff kept lobbing, it needs some guitar, it needs some grit, and I was going, oh, okay, and it's really a hard section. It's really a complex contrapuntal section, but I think the last time he was here in L.A., he convinced me, and we kind of did it one afternoon, and he went, that's what I wanted all along.
Well, let me play the clip, and then we'll talk a little bit, because, again, there's a lot of stuff going on in this song. But this synth, see if you guys can spot the synth guitar in here. This is Fade Out.
Fade Out. Myself, do my best to try to comprehend. Even as the final credits crawl, I'm not ready for this film to end. So we fade out what we shared once.
I love that whole synth guitar thing, but there's a portamento, there's a slide. Is that you doing that manually on the guitar, or was that?
I actually played the keyboard for the synthesizers.
Oh, okay.
And I was using a pitch bend, a pitch reel.
All right.
So that's actually me playing the synth on keyboards and then doing counterpoint on the guitar.
Oh, okay. So the double leads, the
synth and guitar.
Yeah.
But now,
very Tony Banks. So I feel that Genesis thing happening again.
There you go.
Know, it's like I hear that.
We like that
old
Lori.
Genesis. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We'll use that. Well, you know, Mike Rutherford was the model of the mic and the mechanics that I mentioned a minute ago, and you know, that record did really, really well. And so this is kind of like the
right?
idea. This is Christian Provenson on vocal, and he does a great job.
Great. Yeah.
And I just love the power that he brings to these songs. He really sells the concept of the songs.
Now, there's a lot of rhythm guitars going on in there.
Well, actually, it's Jeff. Jeff's a great rhythm player, and he's got this advantage that he does this upside down left-handed thing. So he
strums
really,
up, right?
Really,
yeah, you
there's
have to
the
strum
Martin,
up.
Right?
There's yeah, it's a
but
it's
there's
Martin.
Some electric guitars in there.
Let's see.
And I think one of them's chorused, and there's some other
he
things.
He uses, I actually wrote him an email yesterday to say, give me the gear, because Jeff loves to know what the gear is. So he wrote me, and he says he regularly uses a Callisto chorus vibrato, because kind of the tone that he's worked on and perfected over the years is this great rhythm with
it's
an acoustic
sound.
Guitar,
yeah.
But with some chorusing on it. And then he says he uses a Strymon digital delay as well sometimes. So I love the way he says, I play a Martin HD28V. I tune it a whole step down. I play upside down. I'm thinking, wow, that must be hard. You hang yourself on the same. No.
So he's doing all the rhythm parts?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
How many tracks? Was there two?
Sometimes we would double it. Yeah, there'd be a left and right of the acoustic. Yeah.
Because it sounds like two people, especially at that beginning with that funky groove.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great feel. And Todd Richman, you know, does a great bass part on this, and Ed playing drums, and it just kind of locks together, and then I get to noodle all over it.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I want to play this this clip from that, from this new album. This one called We Call It Love, and this is with Tony Levin.
Yeah, I've done a couple of other projects with Tony, and I just heard this song, and it had a different title and had different lyrics, and we worked on it and got around. I said, you know what? Let me just ask Tony if he'd do this. I sent him a rough mix of just like, you know, the acoustics and the drum part that Ed had worked out. And he said, yeah. And he put bass on it and sent it back. And we went, oh, my God, this is an abundance of riches. It's almost like I played the instrumental version of this in my car for weeks just listening to Tony's bass part. So I hope you play enough of this to
You can hear it. The tone of the fretless is just amazing.
Yeah, it's that electric fretless that he has. I forget the...
Oh, it's an upright type?
Yeah, it's an upright, actual upright bass with no body. It's just sort of like the long, slender neck that he uses. And this has our good friend Ira doing a vocal on it. So,
well, let me play it real quick because I want to ask a little bit about your... There's a guitar lead type thing going on there. I want to know how you did this. This is We Call It Love. Check this out.
I called you, but I'm not getting through. All those texts I sent you, but none came back from you. What else can I say to you? You haven't heard before. Tell me the words you won't ignore. Every time you reach for me, I wasn't there to take your hand. Instead of always blaming you, should have tried to understand. 100 times I held you close while we drifted to sleep. Oh, that's a distant memory. Funny that we call it love. A 100 times I held you close while you drifted to sleep. Memory, you need me, and I need you. It's crazy that we call it love.
That just that bass line.
Oh, the whole ending is amazing. Yeah. I'm so sorry you had to fade it out so we can talk.
But what did you do on that opening guitar lead where you go in the lead? That's the synth, right? Because it sounds like the bass almost, and then you do this bend. There's like no way.
There's a production technique that a lot of producers will use with guitars where you'll actually have one guitar player and you'll split into two different amps. You'll get two different tones and two different ISO rooms with mics, and you try to do it. But I'm sort of like, whatever, I'll just play it again. So that is actually me playing on a really clean guitar tone first, and then I double myself on a VG tone that has a bit of a E-bow would be the best way. It's sort of a long synthesizer-y E-bow kind of tone. So they blend really well and when they're mixed right, so that you get the attack out of the really clean strat tone, but that long, warm tone comes from the Igbo tone. So it's just, for me, it would be easier just to plug once, play it once, and you're going to three different things. I just go, whatever, I'll play it once, and then I'll play it again the exact same way.
Right. But it's an interesting sound, because for a minute I thought it was the bass until you did the whammy.
Well, the very end of it, there's some great stuff where I'm using a slide with those tones, and Tony's playing some amazing bass riffs and lines, and it goes off into this nice texture. So you'll have to get the album there.
Yeah. And who's singing backgrounds?
And again,
that's Janice Liebhardt singing backgrounds, and it will be a little louder in the final mix, I promise.
That's cool, though. It's really like ethereal almost in the background.
Yeah, and so, you know, this is a taste of what the album, we have 9 tracks in the phases of going into the mix mode, and I think it's a great little record. It's a good little, you know.
Well, we're out of time, and I want to play this Caress the Moon. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit. What's happening with you? What's happening with the tribe?
Well, what's happening with him is the tribe, so I get to basically talk about that on a couple of other shows. I'll work backwards. So December 1st is the next tribe show, which, for those who are not familiar with us in the LA area, we perform big benefit shows, concerts usually twice a year for great causes. And lately our cause, and probably into the future, will be for homelessness, a situation that's not going away anytime soon. So we raise money for homelessness, and this one will be at the El Rey. And the musical theme is called Music from Across the Pond. So
lot of British bands.
Pretty cool. Oh, yeah. And we've got Peter Asher as our
MC,
evening.
Peter Asher.
Full of stories. And Jeff Allen Ross is our MD. So that'll be really fun. Tickets are already on sale. You can find them on any of our pages.
And believe it or not, with the movie out, Bohemian Rhapsody, we are going to be performing live.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Thank you, John Pratt.
John Pratt will be singing vocals. And,
Lori's
doing background vocals.
Yep, one of the background
and
vocals.
And I'm handling all of Brian May's guitar parts.
And amongst other things, we do 2 sets of incredible music. It'll be awesome. So join us there. And then working backwards, just fast forward backwards to this week, actually. Thursday, we've got Bill Champlin's band called Wonderground at Bogies, and that is with his wife Tamara and Burley Drummond and his wife Mary Harris from Ambrosia, and Bill Bodine on bass. Bill Bodine on bass, and Gary Falcone on other guitar. So that'll be really great on Thursday. And then Sunday, we've got Rosemary Butler upstairs at Vitello's doing her first Rose Sings Ronstadt show. And tickets are available for that as well. But they're selling out pretty quick. So should be a lot of fun.
So this song originally was called Radio Haig. And Haig was the first oud player for Ruby Ate the Fig, and unfortunately he passed away a couple years ago. So this was Sharon's homage to him, and that's why you'll hear some great oud playing by Adam Good through this. And I did the orchestrations and all the other stuff, so
check it
out. This is one of my favorite tracks. When I'm a little down and I'm dealing with all sorts of crazy stuff in life, I play this track.
Mm. Now, real quick, before I play it so everybody can listen, the bass, again, is another classic bass.
Yeah,
line.
This is Kenny Bligh once again showing what a phenomenal bass player.
And this wasn't written out. This was basically rehearsed.
You know what? I think we rehearsed it. We tried a few things, and then in the studio it was just refined, and Sharon sang something to Kenny, and he picked it up, and he turned it into this. And literally, I mean, I played this for my good friend Ryan Oyate, who's the engineer for Tom Petty all these years and producer, co-produced with him. The first time I played this for him to say, what do you think of this? And he just went, great bass part.
Yeah.
Among other things.
That's cool.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming
You're
on.
You're welcome.
It was great, and I love this guitar.
It's a nice little...
It's really, really, really nice. And Lori, thank you again for putting this together.
And for everybody else, check out the previous, the archives that Mark has been in the studio here before. So they're on.
Especially the last one where we had the VG system and we went through the whole. It's really cool.
Then you'll
cool.
get like the whole lesson. This is the third part.
Yes.
Caress the Moon.
So everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week. But here is Caress the Moon, the title track of the Ruby Ate the Fig EP.
Oh, and you can get information on Lefty and the Hat Man at leftyandthehatman.com.
Yes. And thank you, Jeff Lefty Levine. Everybody, have a great night. Have a great week. We will see you next week. Here's Caress the Moon.